Part of what we have here, an extra car insurance plan you might be forced to buy, plus taxes on lottery winnings, plus a moment of Eros. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco in its role of bank regulator is reportedly looking into whether Wells Fargo failed to refund insurance money it owed to some customers that financed car purchases through the banking giant. The New York Times is reporting the Fed's inquiry involves a type of insurance called Guaranteed Auto Protection Insurance, or GAP insurance. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has been looking into the story and joins us live. Nancy, what exactly is this product, this GAP stuff?
Well, insurance companies say you need GAP insurance, and here's how they explain it. Say you just bought a new car for $30,000, you put down $2,000, you get a loan for $28,000, but you total your car just a few months later. Your car started depreciating the minute you drove it off the lot. Your insurance estimates it was only worth $21,000, but you still have a $28,000 loan. GAP insurance may pay the difference for you.
I see. But worth a reminder that you may not have to buy GAP insurance, right?
Exactly. But car dealers push it. They like the extra protection they get if they're the ones making the loan. So do lenders, and they will sometimes require it. GAP insurance also might be required as part of a car lease contract. It might be included in the cost of the contract. But the Times says if you pay your car loan off early, you're supposed to get some of that money you paid in GAP insurance premiums back. You don't need that coverage anymore. In its latest quarterly financial statement, Wells Fargo says it has, quote, identified certain issues related to GAP insurance that could result in refunds to customers in certain states.
All right, certain issues. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. Let's check the markets. The 100-share index in London is down 0.1%. Germany's DAX index is going the other way, up 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures have hardly budged with about 2.5 hours to go before the opening bell on Wall Street. OPEC is meeting today in Dubai. Crude traded in New York is up 0.5%, closing in on $50 a barrel. Now, not to ruin the fun of contemplating what you would do if you won the current Powerball or Mega Millions jackpots, which are each over $300 million and will be drawn tomorrow, I already know what you'll do with the money. Pay taxes. And you should know that different states do that differently. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
The government treats lottery money as ordinary income, so there are decidedly better and worse places to win. Gerald Pranty teaches economics at Lynchburg College.
The worst place to win your Powerball would be New York City.
Add up federal, state, and local income taxes, he says.
The government's going to take about 47 to 48% of your winnings.
Nope. If you're going to win big,
you want to win it somewhere where you don't have a state income tax.
Say Texas or Florida. Victor Matheson is an economics professor at College of the Holy Cross. It's also good to win, he says, in California.
That has specifically exempted lottery winnings from taxation.
Who knew? The marginal tax rate in states where you don't pay state income tax is 39.6%, the top federal tax rate. Attorney Jason Kurland, who calls himself the lottery lawyer, says for the most part, big winners aren't sweating their tax bill.
Nobody's upset, let's put it that way.
Whatever state they're in. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Eros International, based in Mumbai, India, is reportedly negotiating the sale of its catalog of movies and music to possibly Apple or Netflix or Amazon or somebody for a lot of money. Let's get to know this company that's been turning Bollywood into money for decades. I just linked up to BBC business correspondent Samir Hashmi in Mumbai for more.
Eros is one of the oldest production houses in India. It makes movies not only for Bollywood, which is the Hindi language, but across a regional cinema in India. So it has a huge collection of movies. They're sitting on a collection of over 3,000 Indian movies, which includes Bollywood. And they also have digital rights for movies, Indian movies, estimated to be around 10,000. India is one of the largest markets, fastest growing markets for internet in the world right now. There are about 300 100 million internet users, and it's been growing at 20 to 30% every year. And that's why, you know, companies like Amazon, Apple, and Netflix are looking at India in a big way. And if they get rights for these movies, which Eros is trying to sell, exclusive rights, that's just going to add to their library, especially to the Indian collection.
Films, but also music.
That's right. Eros also has a huge collection of music. Now, as you know, music and Bollywood are married to each other in a way, because all Bollywood movies have lots of musics and songs. Eros has done very well on that front as well over the last few decades. It's acquired rights, music rights for many Bollywood movies as well as other Indian movies.
So it's a play in India, clearly, but we also know that films produced in India travel well and have international audiences.
There are two markets internationally where Indian movies do very well. A lot of countries in Europe and in North America where there's a huge presence of the Indian diaspora. Not only Indian diaspora, actually South Asian diaspora, which consume Bollywood in a big way. And then there are the non-traditional markets like Russia, Middle East. In the last few years, China is now becoming a big consumer of Indian movies. You know, Bollywood producers are looking at China in a big way because there is huge appetite for Indian movies to do well. So yes, they do travel well, and it's a growing market.
The BBC's Samir Hashmi in Mumbai. Thank you so much for this. Eros International's next big film release later this month is called Sniff, a movie about an 8-year-old who gets a superpower sense of smell after a freak accident and uses it to nose down a gang of car thieves. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Brian Allison. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.